pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday morning, 251-343-0106. Hour number three begins right now. Still come about half hour from now. Bradley J., my colleague at Breitbart News, will make time for us. So we'll talk about some happenings inside the U.S. Senate. Tommy Tuberville, Katie Britt parting ways on a housing bill, but Tommy Tuberville was in the very small minority. It was a bipartisan bill. And we'll investigate that here in about 30 minutes. Just one text to get to here. Scrovereen, and I know where these signs are. Talk some sense of these fruits and nuts. There's a lot of Doug Jones signs around my neighborhood, but it's not sense. I mean, like I can respect it. I you want to be a Democrat, you want to vote for a Democrat. That's okay, I guess. But it's kind of a lost cause. I guess if I were a Republican in a blue state, I'd be doing the same thing. I don't know. I've never put a sign in my yard. It's just not something I've done. Now, my parents have. My mom has. It's just not something that I do. I don't know. Just kind of you're wearing your politics as a name tag or a bumper sticker or anything like that. Other sports teams. I'll definitely put some Auburn stuff out. Yeah. And the Flailing Braves. I have two stickers on my car, Auburn and the Braves. But I just politics, I do it for a living. I try to keep an open mind as much as possible, but I still have my biases. I just, people put up yard signs. I guess that's their way of making a statement. Speaking of Riley Green on ESPN now wearing a Braves hat. 251-343-0106. Catch up on the news here. Supreme Court handing, I think, conservatives three significant wins. Two are related, one not so much. The high court struck down a Hawaiian law that prohibited concealed carry in public places, open to the private property, open to the public. So if you had a private, or if you are a private property, I guess you had a public a shooting range open to the public, you would have been in violation of Hawaiian law. But they ruled that unconstitutional. And then the big ones, they call it Haitian immigration. I guess it's this. The first one they gave was that if you come to the border, U.S. Mexico or even U.S. Canada, I suppose, and you could declare asylum status, and they had to let you in. That was a policy of the Biden administration and a lot of Democrats. And Trump gets elected, so we're not going to do that anymore. He said we are not going to. Just take your word for it. Because this was what was happening. Immigrants were coming here and they were just saying, well, I'm an asylum seeker. And then, you know, then that has to be adjudicated. And they could show up to court, get their asylum status and stay. But a lot of them just wouldn't show up to court. No one's really tracking these key people. And it was just an avenue for illegal immigration. And then Trump said, well, what am I going to do this? We're going to stop. We're going to stop doing this. And then some lower court, some lawfare judges said, no, you have to keep doing this. That's unconstitutional. It's against federal law. And the Supreme Court, when always Supreme Court, and guess what? Nope, 6-3 ruling here. Wasn't even close. 2-1. They can tell you, no, you can't come in just because you say you're an asylum seeker. They can turn you away at the border. And the other one, kind of interesting. There was an earthquake in Haiti. Had to be, man, I was still in Washington, D.C. Maybe 15 years ago. And we opened up to these Haitian refugees just seeking place to stay. Well, they never went home. They just stayed here. And Trump gets elected. He says, well, wait a minute. You got to go back. Your visa's expired. And the lower court judge says, no, you can't make them do that. And now Supreme Court says, yeah, actually they can. Temporary means temporary. So hopefully the Department of Homeland Security reacts to this and moves. Now, there's going to be a fight over funding, but they were the Trump administration was within its legal realm, according to the Supreme Court, to act as it was intending to. Dave Texter, housing bill is going to flood market with mobile homes. I don't know. I need to get somebody who can explain the housing bill to me. Maybe that's a question for Bradley in the bottom of the hour. A Dave Texter, I'm sure you two had the same opinion when Obama's place of birth was being discussed. I never could get on the birther bandwagon. And my problem with the whole birther question about Obama, I know I'm going to get a bunch of blowback, but like his mom was an American citizen. He gets that citizenship based on being her son, right? It's the same with John McCain. You know, I believe Obama was born in Hawaii. But even if he were born in Kenya, his biological mom was an American citizen. So I had that. You can pretend that like I was on the airways birthering it up, but I never was on that bandwagon. Never. And there's go read my tweets from back then if you want to, if you don't believe me. Mike, how many people do you think are happy with us spending $88 billion on the Iran debacle just for our military? There's no telling how much it costs our economy overall. I don't think people are happy. I think there are some people who and Mike, I know this is kind of a foreign idea, concept here. But I think there are people who think that's a justified expense. And certainly there's some people in Washington, D.C. elected to office who think it was a justifiable expense to debilitate this perceived threat. Now, you and I, we could talk about whether it was a threat or not, and I don't know. But the Trump administration thought it was a threat, and they reacted accordingly. Now, the economic question is different. But as far as $88 billion, I mean, that's a lot of money, but it's also like a rounding error on a farm bill. Is Josh Moon afraid to come on your show and have a conversation? He's not afraid. He's been on before. I haven't asked him in a long time. Josh is he's wrong, but I think he deep down he's a good guy. I find him to be way more organized in his arguments than like a Kyle Whitmire or an Archibald. Like Archibald's whole shtick is it's like Jed Clampett, Act Blue Jed Clampett or something. And man, Whitmire he's just whiny. I know, Texter, we don't have a Supreme Court. We now have a Trump court. No, you have a Supreme Court. American people voted for Trump to be president. He gets to appoint justices. Maybe you missed that chapter in your history class. Hey, Jed, this is Billy D. Without sounding like a warmonger or anything like that, what do these people and what we all need to understand is this country is built on war. It's just what we do. And so we need to make more munitions. So if we make more munitions, that means more jobs, more factories that are open. That's what we do. That's what this country does. So that's $8 billion. It's going right back into the economy. It's going to take it. And the markup on these things is outrageous. Do we think we'll ever be in another serious land war? I don't know. But I do think, Billy, that, I mean, there's some truth to that. And I do think, you know, the whole military-industrial complex is a real thing. They're publicly traded companies, and they have an economic incentive for war. Jason, it's nice to hear Mike give Israel a break and go after Nappy Crew until he discovers Lanyap is controlled by AIPAC. Mike has a lot of opinions. I said this before on the program about Iran. I'm not 100% convinced that it was this looming threat that was going even hit strike Israel. However, I'm at least open to that possibility. I think it's entirely possible they were. And somebody said to Trump, maybe in the Israeli government, perhaps, Netanyahu, I don't know. Look, Democrats are going to win in the midterms. You don't know what kind of president you're going to have in 2029. Even if it's J.D. Vance. Or if it's a Democrat, they're not going to be willing to do this. This is the window of opportunity here. It's going to be painful. But you're going to be credited with keeping the world safe. We want you to keep the world safe here. This is the window of opportunity for the midterms. You got to hit these targets in Iran. You've got to topple this regime. It's going to be a threat. It's going to be a bigger problem to the safety of the globe. And Trump is a rational man. He looked at it. Now, maybe he was fed wrong data. I don't know. But he says, you know, I'm going to take a hit here. I'm going to make a lot of people in my base mad. But this is why. Maybe, perhaps. So let's just be open to the possibility. I'm not trying to make excuses for this. Gas prices went up. There's a lot of pain at the pump. But is it plausible? Can we give the President of the United States the benefit of the doubt on this one? And I think we should. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.
A couple guys in first class on a flight from New York to Los Angeles. Kind of making small talk, killing time, flirting with the flight attendant.
Oh, mama, can this really be the end? To be stuck inside of Mobile with the Memphis Blues again. Mona tried to tell me.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Programming note tomorrow, Friday, on the show, our regulars Todd Stacey and State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion, will be with us. So make sure you tune in for that. Still a few texts to get here. Mike, even Marco Rubio said to Israel, that Israel Dreger said to it, it was listed on the State Department website as well. Our foreign policy was completely dictated by a foreign government. There's no benefit of the doubt he's earned nor deserves based on his repetitive behavior of lying. I still, Mike, I don't believe that. I mean, you could be anti-Trump all you want. What? Ask yourself this question, and it's just like, what does Trump gain from doing this? He wins, he gets on Netanyahu's good side. I mean, what does he get? I have questions about like a Lindsey Graham or, you know, a lot of long-standing neocons. But there's no pattern of work here. There's no behavior to suggest that Donald Trump is just a dedicated Bill Kristol type of neocon. At least neoconservative in the sense of like the early 2000s. There's no evidence of that. Now, if he had this behavior and he's always talking about war, okay, then I would have said, well, they got a little trigger happy here. But I for that reason, I still give Trump the benefit of the doubt. Ultra Runner. Good luck trying to find someone who understands the housing bill. I tried to read it last night but failed. I could handle different equations, but understanding the language in that bill broke me. I have a fun challenge to you and your listeners. Try getting Google to admit that the bipartisan housing bill limits the homeowner's ability to maximize profit on the sale of their house. It won't do it. I phrased it six different ways, and all I know is Google is definitely in favor of the bill. Did you try DuckDuckGo? I don't know. The housing bill kind of came out of nowhere. It wasn't like something that we spent a lot of time on. It seemed like there was a lot of agreement. It's bipartisan, so. Thomas sends a blank message. Paul, I think Trump believed it would have been overnight, overwrite after the megaload. It was bad advice / intel. Right. Well, and some of this was like did we get them the first time sufficiently? And there are a lot of naysayers. And there's still a lot of naysayers right now as the United States is pulling back from this conflict. Oh, you can't trust those Iranians. Well, no one's asking you to trust them, I guess. Just stop shooting at each other. That's what you want. You want an ease of hostilities. Get the economy back to where it needs to be. Allow us to get back to a normal footing here. No one's telling you to trust them, except that to assume they're not going to be manufacturing a nuclear weapon. Well, all of this military action, all of these military strikes, everything that we've done up until this point, do we not think that had some kind of impact on Iran's ability to threaten the West? Do we think that was just shock and awe for the TV cameras or something? Have we become what we fought against? That's Thomas from Irvington. You know, like I said, is there a pattern of behavior here? Maybe a little bit. I mean, obviously Venezuela was outside of like the perceived Trump doctrine. But I don't think we were where we were after 9/11 at all. I mean, the Bush administration invaded Iraq. They put boots on the ground. There's no, at this point in time, is anybody think that that's still a possibility? Text line 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. 251-343-0106. If you want to get in on the text line, time permitting, I'll reach text and try to respond in some coherent fashion. Joining us now on the line, regular on this program, I always appreciate his time, but there's a lot going on in D.C., a lot more going on there than probably here in Alabama. But some of it pertains to Alabama. But Bradley Jay joins us here, my colleague at Breitbart News. Bradley, how are you?
Doing well, Mr. Poore. Great to join you.
Hey, thank you for making time for us. We appreciate it. Let me just ask you this, and I don't know the answer to the. I mean, I have some speculation, but the housing bill that we're talking about, what is it?
Well, if you're asking for the substance of the bill, I mean, it's fine. It's popular, I suppose, polling shows. Conservatives certainly have some issues with it. I mean, the foundation of the bill is an Elizabeth Warren bill, so that should put up red flags for any conservative or even any Republican. I certainly don't use those two interchangeably. It does some things like, well, for one, it like federally funds the production, the manufacturing of like manufactured housing. It also has some provisions in there that would ease with regulations and zoning issues. It would encourage some states and municipalities to make it easier to build homes. Conservatives certainly have some issues with it. Obviously, there's, you know, there's a lot about socialism and all that going on right now, given what happened in New York Tuesday night with those elections. But also there are legitimate issues being raised that this is just going to provide housing in a lot of rural red areas for a lot of these overcrowded, very primarily poor blue parts of the country. So it's probably going to pass the House, or it's probably going to get signed into law. The House and the Senate, of course, passed it, but you know, President Trump kind of threw a wrench in the bill signing.
All right. Well, tell me, what's the dynamic? So Trump's on Capitol Hill yesterday. What's the dynamic there, the Senate and the Trump in the White House? Because, I mean, we talked about this for years. This little taboo for presidents to be meddling in Senate affairs, but I mean, nothing really crazy has leaked from it. But talking to Republicans, I think Coach said that Trump just got a bunch of things off of his chest. But it doesn't seem like there's a lot of negative fallout here.
Well, the president was clearly very upset about Iran, the vote, and this is why the United States Senate is so stupid, and why it's so irrelevant, and it no longer is a place where anything actually gets done to move the ball in a meaningful way for the American people, or even historically. They're busy, and of course it's the Democrats voting, forcing a vote, but they're voting on an Iran War Powers Act resolution for a war that's now over. The president is very understandably upset that four Republicans voted with Democrats. I mean, here he is. There's an MOU that's been signed. They're trying to negotiate a long-term deal that maybe could eliminate the Iranian nuclear threat in the Middle East and beyond and bring a little bit of peace to the Middle East. And what are these DC Republican senators doing? They're voting to undermine that whole process in a meaningless resolution. The president can veto it. All it does is undermine peace talks. Are you kidding me? This is what United States senators, Republicans, are occupying their time with. So the president came in hot. Had one senator last night tell me that he thought that Bill Cassidy and Trump were actually going to come to blows. So apparently it was pretty heated, as you said. But Cassidy changed his vote after he yelled at the president and leaked to his buddies at Punchbowl News that he'd done so. If Punchbowl News ever writes anything good about a congressman or a senator, that should be a huge red flag just for your listeners' awareness. But then Cassidy changed his vote. You had Rand Paul, who said that he would vote present. He did so last night. So Trump was successful in changing the results of that vote. Did it hurt him as far as his negotiating leverage with Iran? It could have. I don't know. But the risk for Republicans was, I think, just not worth it, just to make a point that you like to stand up to President Trump. But it sounds like that was more of the substance that was discussed during the lunch, if you want to call it that, than the actual Save America Act, which was what the president said was the reason why he postponed the signing of that housing bill, because he, I think, understandably saw some leverage given the results Tuesday night in New York and wanted his Senate colleagues to actually get to work trying to pass the Save America Act instead of just pretending like they wanted it passed.
The New York elections, I think this is the beginning of the Democrat Civil War. They've been putting it off for two decades now, but at some point the radicals in the party are the party. I mean, they're the ones who do the work, who knock on doors, who put out yard signs, who go to the DNC, who give money. I mean, some of it's big business, some of it's Wall Street, tech, whatever, Hollywood, but even Hollywood's kind of radical in its viewpoint. But the Democratic Party in Washington, D.C. may be rhetorically woke liberal on these issues, but they just kind of go along with the flow for the most part. And I think at some point, like this apple cart's beginning to get upset here, because these guys aren't going to kind of play ball with the Washington, D.C. norms that a lot of Democrats have for years.
You're right, Jeff. And you and I have talked about this. I mean, the last time that the Democrats had a truly competitive primary for president was 2008, when Obama beat Hillary. Of course, he was the incumbent 4 years later. 4 years after that, they rigged it with the superdelegates for Hillary. We had the COVID election with a lot of that funny business that delivered that nomination to Biden. They said that they'd reformed the superdelegates, but they still rigged it so that they could get Biden across the finish line after he won in South Carolina. And then, of course, they outright rigged it in 2024 for Kamala Harris when she was thrust to the top of the ticket without ever winning an electoral vote or a primary or anything like that. But you bring up a very astute point, Jeff. Like, how did Chuck Schumer or Hakeem Jeffries rise to the top of the Democrat Party hierarchy? Was it through excellent organizing and pounding the pavement and knocking doors? No, it was through being friends with these corporate elitists. I mean, Hakeem Jeffries came from a white collar law firm where he had a great career before he transitioned full time to politics. This is the old school way of becoming a Democrat Party power broker. But what about these Democrat Socialists of America candidates? I mean, these people, they eat, sleep, breathe politics because they think that government actually is, they want to overthrow our system. I mean, it's thrown around a lot, but it really is true. But they see government as the end-all, be-all provider of every single thing, like their entire purpose of being. Normal people like you and me who have interest outside of politics and government, whether it's Auburn football or our families or whatever it is, it's hard to compete against people who do like that and have that worldview. And right now, even more so than Republicans, in their target right now is the Democrat establishment. I mean, they beat Dan Goldman. He got like a third of the vote the other night. And this is a guy who was the face of anti-Trump resistance. But what this new breed cares about, it isn't just, oh, you're anti-Trump. Who cares? It doesn't matter. You were part of the system that enabled him to actually rise to power. These people, they want to tear it all down and everyone associated with it. And it's going to be real ugly when a lot of these disparate coalitions that have been held together tenuously in the Democrat Party for the past 10, 20 years or so finally start battling it out. And I cannot wait to see who they nominate in 2028, because the road to get there, oh man, it's going to be a brouhaha.
Well, I tell you something, and because we saw this when Republicans took over in the last midterms, and in the fight over Speaker, it went on and on and on. You couldn't get all the Republicans on board unless some concessions were made. I think Democrats should still win the House, probably, if you're asking me today. But the margins are still going to be thin. Guess what? They're going to have some problems there sorting things out, committee assignments, leadership. Like, they're really going to have to, I think they're going to have to make concessions here for whatever the Democratic Party hierarchy is post November 3rd. They're going to have the same sort of skirmishes within the House caucus. It's just, it's inevitable.
You're exactly right. And like, you and I talked about this over a year ago. I'd said that I didn't think that Hakeem Jeffries could become Speaker. He has done a lot in the past 8 months or so to shore up that left flank of his caucus, of his party. He's made some missteps lately, though. He has gotten involved in some primaries through the House Democrats campaign arm, which is very dangerous to do. He's ticked off a lot of people. And then, of course, we saw how potent that radical left socialistic side of his party could be Tuesday night. Look, a lot of the concessions that Republicans at McCarthy made in late 23, early 24, when McCarthy eventually won the gavel, a lot of those concessions, the conservatives, I think, were very good. The people who actually exploited them to oust McCarthy actually, for the most part, aren't worth the members who had actually been doing the work to get reformed. They just wanted to kind of blow things up. They each had different motives. But for Hakeem Jeffries to negotiate, like he's not negotiating with people like McCarthy was, who actually wanted to improve the way that the House worked and functioned. In order for him to get the Speaker's gavel, if Democrats do get the majority, and as of today, I'd kind of go back and forth, I don't think they will. But I mean, he's basically going to have to negotiate with terrorists to do that. I mean, what are these people going to demand in order to vote for him for Speaker? And remember, this isn't like to be a minority leader. To be a minority leader, I mean, that's not technically, I mean, a position of the House. You just have to win a majority whether you're Republicans or Democrats, you have to win a majority of your minority. To get elected as Speaker, you have to get those 218 votes. And as you said, the margins are going to be very slim either way, whether Republicans hold it or Democrats retake it. And God only knows what they're going to demand in order for their allegiance. And allegiance isn't the right word because, man, just the way people are, they got elected outside of the Democrat machinery. So they aren't going to owe Hakeem Jeffries or right. The Democrat Party anything. It's going to be wild to watch if that does transpire.
I think you're right. I mean, I just they're going to have to make some concessions. And Hakeem Jeffries really kind of blew it here by getting involved in these New York primaries. And I know they're in his backyard. but they're not gonna work with that guy, at least not for without you know getting something out of it. And they're going to it's like you were pointing out, though, there was some self-serving going on with the Republican leadership fight. Matt Gaetz no longer with us. Nancy Mace, she's about to be gone. Their political obituaries have been written and published. But I think with these, as you're pointing out about these Democrats, these true believers, these Democrats who make they don't have faith, they don't have family. This is their higher power, their reason for existing. They're going to be much more dedicated to this cause than I think a lot of people are willing to acknowledge.
You're right. I mean, these people have no ties to our American social or cultural or political or faith heritage. They just happen to be here. It's a dot on a map to them. It's where they are, and they are going to do what they can to tear it down and rebuild it back up. And regardless of merit, split the spoils amongst everybody. I mean, it's a very dangerous place for Democrats right now, and it's really easy for Republicans to look and laugh and, oh, these are radicals or whatever they like to say. But look, in the short term, it's very dangerous for Democrats, but Republicans need to understand and appreciate the threat. And if you look at the United States Senate and what it is doing and refusing to even seriously put the Save America Act on the floor and indeed canceling the rest of this week's vote to start a 19-day vacation. Jeff, I'm very dubious that Republicans are going to meet this very dangerous moment.
Bradley, we appreciate your time. Folks on the fight online, where can they look?
BarkBark.com and on X or Twitter and Instagram at Bradley AJ.
All right, Bradley, we appreciate it. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.
And they still are, it seems, sadly in search of one step in back of themselves and their slow moving dreams.
I gave you my heart and I tried to make you happy, and you gave me nothing in return. You know it ain't so hard to say, would you please just go
to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on what's left of this Thursday morning. Tomorrow on the show from Alabama Daily News, Todd Stacey will make his weekly appearance, as well as our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott. So please stay or tune in for that, I should say. Real quick, just like Bradley's brought up about the Democrat war for 2028, I think the same will happen on the Republican side, but maybe not to the same extent. As Parker said yesterday, the boomers are going to be pushing 90-year-old, and their stranglehold of the Republican Party is going to be ending. I mean, I think we've already had our Civil War, or at least we've had some skirmishes. Maybe it continues on. But I think the point of that is Democrats have been putting it off. And at some point, I mean, that dam is going to burst. And one more here, Ultra Runner. If Rick Scott had won instead of Thune, would we be celebrating the passage of the Save America Act? That's a good question. So Rick Scott just didn't have the support. I mean, you know, he didn't play the game with McConnell, and just there's a lot to unpack there someday about what went wrong with Rick Scott's effort to be majority leader. Come up here shortly, Midday Mobile. Sean, what you got?
Hello, Jeff. In a couple of minutes, we'll get started with Midday Mobile. Guest up on the show, John Sharp from AL.com joins me. A lot to talk about. One of the stories. What's it cost to get you tables and chairs? I mean, I don't know that it's too expensive. You know, I don't know, like, I'm not like an expert at this, but tables and chairs and dance floors for the arena. He's got that report from Mobile City Council meeting, so we'll talk about that. Also, we'll get into a conversation with Kyle Hamrick from Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. And then get this. So it's America's 250, right? America's 250? It's exciting, right?
Yes.
You see products out there. I think they're cool. The America 250 flags and hats and all that stuff. I'm a nerd for all that kind of stuff. Love it.
Maybe China.
Well, the ones where you heard advertised here, we've got vendors right here in Alabama selling American-made. Yeah, yes. American flags, which is super cool. But so there's scams going out, of course, because anytime there's anything going on, the scammers go, oh, here's an opportunity. So you know, Better Business Bureau here of Central and South Alabama has put out a list of cases that have already happened in Alabama and what to watch for. So Evie Owen is going to join me coming up at about 1:30. What to watch out for. I mean, there are people getting, you got to go, wait till you hear this. The number of scams that they've already perpetrated on Alabamians for 250 official gear and all this stuff. It's like, you're celebrating the 250, the scammers are going, yeah, we're in too.
Well, you know, everybody's going to get their beak wet, I guess. Hey, you got John Sharp coming on. He had a story I read this morning about the mosquitoes.
Yes. You're an Eastern Shore person. I mean, how bad?
I feel like they're always bad in Fairhope. We have the gully system, and you know, but are they bad out there at the farm?
I mean, they're normal. You know, my son and I were talking about that, and they're bad because we have water. I mean, you've been down my driveway before. I mean, there's a big section of my, there's probably 50, 60 yards of that easement driveway that's flooded. I mean, just permanent water, not permanent, but there's water been laying in there for probably 3 weeks. We got big mosquitoes certain times of year. But if you're out when it's sunny and you're out away from the wood line, you don't have a problem. But yeah, if you went up under, you know, some of the hardwoods in our forest and sat there right now, you get eaten alive. Sure, you just don't do it.
No. Well, I mean, they're always kind of bad here. But I've been spending some time out on these baseball fields with my son lately here locally because he's been in camp. And, I mean, they're bad out there. And I was like, well, they're not as bad like here. And there's some spraying and things like that going on to try to rein some of that in. But I mean, it just, like you said, we've had a lot of rain, and
right now, it just kind of
feels that way. Yeah, it's like you live in the South. What do you expect?
Well, it rains, and the water pulls up and doesn't drain out. You get mosquitoes. Yeah. So at the farm, they're no worse than any time we have rain. But I have heard from multiple people on the Eastern Shore that it's like Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds, except it's mosquitoes. They're running from them, so I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it's just Daphne and up that way, but it just seems like a normal. They're bad. I'm not going to, you know, underplay that, but they are certainly not any more than usual.
Well, John, yeah, we'll talk about that one as well when he joins me at about 12:30.
All right, y'all stay tuned for that. I got to get out of here. I will try to do better tomorrow. Sorry, Phyllis, I forgot to say goodbye. This has been the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. This is where